outgoing Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel wants a 20% cut of employees across some broad swaths of the Pentagon's workforce. The problem is, decision makers may not know where they're starting in order to make those cuts. John Pendleton is Director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office, looking at how the Pentagon plans to trim down those management offices. John, thanks for coming on the program again. It's great to talk to you as always. You're reporting to the House Armed Services Committee on the Pentagon's plans. And I guess my main takeaway is just that. They're not sure where they're starting, so they're not sure where the 20% will take them. Is that a fair assessment on my part, John?
It is, Francis. I mean, at its most basic, organizations need to know what they have and what they need. And with respect to DOD's management of its headquarters organizations, we have significant concerns on both fronts. For this latest report, we looked at the Office of Secretary of Defense, the Joint Staff, and the Service Secretariats. And I mean, obviously, the listeners can go and read the report at www.gao.gov. We make all of them public. But we went back and trended the size of the organizations over time, and we also looked at the processes that they use to determine how many folks they need. And we had concerns on both sides.
Tell me about the concerns, especially at the top levels first, because you detail some pretty striking numbers in the branches and at OSD about how these employee trends have gone.
Sure. Well, I mean, in the report, as I mentioned, we did two things. First, we went back as far as we could, as far as 2001, and trended the personnel and resources associated with the organizations. We saw growth pretty much across the board, although it varied by some of the organizations. And to be fair, it's been leveling off in the last couple of years as DOD has frozen things and said baseline things and said we're not going to get any bigger. But importantly, we could track trends in military and civilian authorizations, that is slots, but not contractors. The data were just not available going back any time. We have a bit of information on recent contractor numbers, which I can talk about. But probably more important, we looked at the procedures being used to determine the requirements. And what we found mirrored what we'd found in previous reviews of other top-level commands, like the combatant commands. The department simply does not systematically determine the personnel needs or reassess them periodically. So basically, the entire department is undergoing efficiency reviews right now, but they have essentially had to start from scratch, and it's unclear in our view what DOD is going to ultimately save in all this.
Unclear is fair, and I won't argue with that. I might suggest that if they didn't have this information before and they're starting from scratch, that's ideal, because that gives them and eventually will give you a skeletal structure, a framework for here's exactly what we need all the time.
Yep.
Here are the people that we need to add when we ramp up for supporting a war. And here are the people that we add when we need to support this kind of operation and so on. But when you have those bodies of knowledge of these are the people that we need to add, you also can then say, and when those contingencies go away, so can that personnel. Am I on the right track, John?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but again, I'm an auditor, right? So I'm going to go in and I'm going to say, show me the documentation that justifies your staff size. We're a year and a half or more since the memo. It's pushing 2 years where we're going to try to reduce by the 20%. But I think one of the key questions is, and again, these are targets that they set. The Secretary of Defense, the last two Secretary of Defense, as a matter of fact, have made a point of saying that they need to reduce the headquarters bureaucracy. And the planned reductions, the foundation was something called management headquarters. And it said, and I'm paraphrasing, that the goal was to cut 20% of management headquarters budgets and strive for 20% reductions in military and civilian staffs in those organizations. That was the goal that Hagel set. When we started digging into that, we found that the department didn't have good information on what constituted a management headquarter. And by that, I mean they had to ask the organizations themselves. So do you see the problem yet?
Yes.
And so they set a goal for 20%. In a report of that we did last year, this latest one came out last week, but when we determined that and figured that out, we said, you know, Mr. Secretary of Defense, we think you might want to reevaluate this, because what we want them to do is exactly what you said, determine what your needs are now and look not only by organization, but also up and down and across, because, you know, over time, organizations tend to build layers and such, and everyone from the Secretary of Defense to the Defense Business Board has said that there's too many layers of review and such in the department. So we want them to do exactly what you're saying, and we'd like for them to build processes to periodically revalidate so that they have a good sense year in and year out what they need and can justify it when somebody like me shows up and starts asking questions.
So I'll paraphrase, John, and please correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
Then I'm going to paraphrase the general gist of your report, and we'll talk more about the details, of course.
Sure.
Down to this, 20% may be the right number, but it may not be. The right number may be 5%, or the right number may be 50%, but the point is not the 20%. The point is efficient and effective operation.
No, absolutely. I mean, and for us, it was really hard to nail down, you know, what the headquarters were exactly. And that's problematic as well. In 2012, we said to DOD that they needed to update their directive that identifies what the headquarters are. When we looked at the Army, they have field operating agencies that support the Army Secretariat. And it was unclear to us why one organization was a field operating agency and why another was included in the Secretariat and staff. You say, well, that's on the margin. But the thing is the field operating agencies are three times as large as the Secretariat. And so what got included and what didn't, I think, really matters. Again, getting to a solid analysis of what the workload is. I mean, admittedly, this is difficult. You know, headquarters workload and identifying how many people it takes to do that kind of workload is hard work. But that's what you want to do. Salami slicing leads to even further inefficiency,
and
you end up cutting the wrong stuff.
And I understand you're not suggesting this is simple by any means,
yeah.
John. I could tell that by looking at this report, that you know the work that will go into this to achieving the ultimate outcome is not going to be quick or simple. Let's talk quickly about the recommendations. The first one that we've already touched on, and that's that systematic determination of the requirements that each of these units needs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What we would like to see now, some of this may be going on. The department told us that they have a number of efforts ongoing and in these various organizations to identify efficiencies, but they didn't want to talk about it because they weren't final yet. So we're waiting with interest to see the budget. But what we think needs to happen in a broader sense is that the OSD, the Joint Staff, the Service Secretariats, the Combatant Commands, all of these top-level organizations need to have processes in place to sort of systematically determine what they need and periodically revalidate it. I'm not saying every 5 minutes, but, you know, every 2 to 5 years, I think is good practice.
That takes us to the second recommendation, because personnel count limits have been in place since the 80s and 90s. And if those determinations are happening on an ongoing basis, the Pentagon can then effectively and credibly go to Congress, I imagine, and as you recommend in this second recommendation, and say, this is how we need you to change the limits that are in place in order to give us the optimum workforce.
Yeah, it takes a second to explain this, but I'll try to make it quick. Congress put limits in 20, 30 years ago on many of these organizations that we're talking about, statutory limits. And they sized it at the time, and they've not been updated. Now, they've been waived since 2002, 2003, because we've been at war. But the limits are actually sitting out there still. If the limits were put back into effect and not waived tomorrow, the Navy's over by 74%, the Army by 17. But, you know, that's really not the issue. The limits have little practical utility because they're outdated. And so what we're suggesting is that part of the reason the department needs to do this revalidation is so they can tell Congress with some credibility what their sizes should be in case they want to update those limits. Now, DOD does not want Congress to reinstitute, or I guess stop waiving is a more precise way to say that, these statutory limits, because they want to maintain flexibility. But I guess we'll just have to see what Congress does. Section 905 of the NDAA, the Defense Authorization Act, requires DOD to report how they're going to develop these requirements processes that we talk about for these organizations, the combatant commands, and a number of other organizations. And I suspect from my conversations with the congressional staff that they'll look at that closely as they consider the how they go forward on the statutory limits.
And the third recommendation, essentially, it sounds to me, John, is that you would like to see the Pentagon take this information as they do these assessments and then just review it with OSD and Congress.
Absolutely. Periodically reassess. When you look at subordinate organizations, if you look at what the Army and Air Force, and for example, expects of its lower-level organizations, they require them to periodically do a manpower review, look at their organizations, and make sure that they're right-sized and right-structured. DOD has come back to us in their response and in other times and said, well, that will require resource investments. I'm not real sympathetic to that argument. You know, if it's worth doing, it's, in my opinion, it's worth doing right. And so I think investing a little bit to make sure you've got rigor in the requirements process and that you maintain the right size just makes good business sense.